Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Tuesday, Cleveland. As we reviewed last night, the Cavs are heading to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Another day of reviewing the draft. And meanwhile, the Guardians, on what's mostly, as it stands right now, a clear night and a weather delay. Always good when we try to predict Ohio weather and stop our sports for them. That's always a good decision. We'll see what that brings. And the show going to bring a lot to you guys tonight. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here from a 7-11 on overtime. Got Michael Bumber on the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us. Today's, we talked a lot last night sort of about where the Cavs series had gone, reminisced about a 55-point victory over the Miami Heat. And we talked about the fool of Tyler Hero saying the team wasn't going to go down 4-0, saying that he liked the Cavs defense, putting up 4 points. And shooting 1 of 10 from the field, and 9 of the shots being behind the arc. We sort of went through and did the entire thing and looked at it. But now it's about a sort of looking at the bigger picture. It's about looking ahead to what that series means for the Cavs here in the playoffs in the long term. And I was always happier with the Miami draw than I would have been with an Orlando draw. I told you guys leading up to the playoffs, that was the last team that I would have wanted to face, and was happy to see them lock in the 7 seed. And I thought Miami was obviously going to bring more of a fight than they ended up bringing. But it was nothing that we hadn't already known was going to happen. We knew the Cavs were going to walk in. We know that series was probably going to go a max of 5 games unless you really, really believed in what the Heat were bringing. But I don't think a lot of us did. It was a very talented, very deep team in the Cavs going up against basically Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero and hoping for a stroke of luck for the Heat. But again, if that series goes in, even if you sweep that series in the way that you did, right? But let's say you made every single game closer, I'd be looking at the result of it and saying, well, you didn't really learn a whole lot from them. They took them down 4 games. You did what you were supposed to do. But truthfully, I do think that looking at the way this series played out game to game and them going down and losing by like 92 points in the final 2 games, and the Cavs taking the complete control and utter dominance over the Miami Heat in that series, sort of leads me down a different path in the overall thinking of where the Cavs are in the playoffs. And not drastically different, because we already had high hopes, but it does bolster a little bit of confidence for me. It's where I look right now. And going into the playoffs, I don't know where you stood, but now I almost feel like at the very worst, that game should probably be a coin flip if you got to the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston, right? That series should at least be in your mind after watching what the Cavs did to the Heat. I think a coin flip. Because what were we all looking for in the first round of the playoffs? You were looking for a Cavs team that took the end of the season sort of as a mini hiatus. And then they had to flip the switch. They had to get back to playing the way that they had played for the first 4 months and with that intensity, and they had to do it immediately in a playoff series. And you needed to see Kenny Atkinson show up and coach the way he did all year and have his team competing in a playoff series. And there was just no problem doing that. Kenny was hands down, very impressive in the way that he handled that series, in the lineups he put out, and how he matched up against the Heat, the defense that they ran against Miami, basically saying anybody else can beat us, but it's not going to be Tyler Hero. I think that you clearly saw, yes, the Cavs are the more dominant team. They're the more talented team. There's no way they should lose that series. But with how dominantly they won it, I think that you're looking at a slightly different type of Cavs team than you would have been thinking going into the playoffs. Because, like I said, you had so many questions that needed to be answered that you just sat around and didn't really know where you could put them in the grand scheme of things. You had Boston playing their best brand of basketball, and the Cavs really playing some of their worst down the stretch of the season compared to what they had put up all year long. But I think that the slight change for me comes in the fact of I'm confident in the Cavs, but I looked at it and said, all right, well, Boston's still a really good team. Yeah, it's close to a coin flip, and you probably give the slight edge to Boston. After that series against Miami and the way that Boston has looked going up against, again, a much tougher, but still a team that they should have no problem with type of Orlando team, I would have to think at this rate that if you look in the Eastern Conference semis, or an Eastern Conference finals, excuse me, that you're looking and probably giving the Cavs the edge right now. Yes, that team obviously had a lot of regular season success. They have a championship coming off of last year. But the conversation that we've had all year long has changed dramatically in how we talked about how you would handle the Celtics from, well, finally Cavs fans sort of got up to the point where they thought they were probably good enough to beat them, and then the downslope for the Cavs happened, and you were pretty much in the opposite, right? It's like, yeah, Boston probably has the edge playing the way that they're playing right now. But this was the fear of playing Orlando for me, is exactly what's happening to Boston. You're in low-scoring, tough, physical games where you see guys like, well, they don't have Drew Holiday right now. You've seen Jason Tatum have to miss a game in that series because he was a little banged up. It's just what Orlando does to you, and they're dragging out this series. Even if it's not going to go more than five games, and you look at a series at Celtics 4-1 over Orlando, you wouldn't blink your eyes. But I think that the way that each game is going is the dramatic difference. That not only do I see the Cavs take care of a team that should have gave them, not troubles, but at least a game-to-game fight, but I see Boston going up against an Orlando team, getting that game-to-game fight, and getting worn down in the process. Having to go up against a team that's going to test you on the inside, that's not going to just give you whatever you want in terms of shooting. You know, they're playing Boston the way that Orlando should be playing Boston. You're going to have to earn it. And I think that takes a toll on you. So much of a toll that, yes, I'm looking at the playoffs and thinking to myself, the Cavs have to be the favorite in the East right now. The one seed is all great and dandy, but when it came down to it, I think for a large portion of all of this, you'd have been looking at a Cavs-Celtics series and probably, according to Vegas, expecting a Celtics team to be slightly favored. I don't know that you give them that favoritism anymore. I think that truthfully, you probably look at this series and start to give Cleveland the edge, which is a start where we can now look at it and think, okay, this team not only locally has the belief in them, but I think nationally is starting to take the traction too. Like, you set back-to-back nights of playoff loss, like the margin of loss, just records for Miami. They had never lost by that many points. You were 3 points off of smacking the highest playoff win on the board. And you almost had it. Jimo Kiki hit a three. We'd be talking. But those are the type of games that you were supposed to see out of the Cavs. If you wanted your questions answered, I look at this first series and say, okay, questions answered. It should no longer be, well, the Cavs still have to prove it at this stage or at this. No, this is a team that you should probably now have the belief in. You should be giving the support and have the realization I think at any point, if this Cavs team were to lose a series, it's not going to be, well, the roster's not good enough, the coaching wasn't good enough. I think you're just going to get outplayed, out-executed at this point. Because I've seen them throughout the regular season treat Boston sort of like a playoff series, and I think Boston's also treated those games against Cleveland a lot like games they should be taking seriously as well, just from the intensity and everything that we saw in those. But it's a level of... We talked about it last night. The game plan's going to change against the Celtics from the way that it was against the Heat. Right? It's going to be the opposite. Don't expect stars to be getting locked up. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, probably going to go out there and drop 30 apiece, but it's all about what the other guys do. And they, when they played that way in the regular season, it felt like it benefited them. You split it 2-2, but it felt like, in a lot of ways, towards the end of the regular season and the games that you played, you started to sort of figure Boston out. And it's just a team that I think a lot of us were scared of at some point or in some capacity. And it's just a team I look at right now and go, I'm just not scared. I'm not afraid of what Boston brings to the table. Yes, treat them with respect. It's obviously going to be a good series, as is going to be the Eastern Conference semifinals, whether you're up against Indiana or Milwaukee, but it's probably going to be Indiana here because no Damian Lillard's going to make that quite the challenge. But it's respect, but there should be no level of fear involved, no level of thinking that the Cavs are the undermanned team and you're coming in with an underdog mentality. I think the Cavs get to carry themselves after that playoff series with a little bit of swagger, a little bit of an edge to them. It's a team who's never lacked confidence, but now has the playoff backing to show it up. I think with every win like you got last night, in every dominant game that you play, and I do expect the Cavs to play more dominant games throughout this playoffs. I don't expect these, now that as you get into the semifinals for the conference, that you're going to get to every single game be sort of a grind them out, shoot them out. I think that you're going to get a couple more dominant Cavs games because the Cavalanches are starting to roll, and a couple of those games probably get out of hand in the favor of a Cavs win. With every one of those, the confidence level just increases. The confidence level just gets higher and higher for a team that already feels they have a chip on their shoulder, that already feels that they're the best team, probably not in the Eastern Conference, but in the NBA. They truly talk and walk around like they have that feeling. And the more and more confidence you gain, I think the scarier and scarier the Cavs begin to look. 216-474-0092. Should the Cavs be the favorites in the East as well? I want to get into sort of what you're looking at for the rest of this playoffs compared to what Boston has staring them in the face. You know, it's going to be on X at VolnickJake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can do our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot coming up tonight, including coming up here in about 45 minutes at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to our very own Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, where the team is looking forward after the draft and how he looks at the draft and felt that it went for the Browns. Again, that's coming up at 8. We'll get to the station buzz coming your way at 7:40. Get a grip at 9 as we always do. We'll bring in Michael Markoch later on as well for Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. Should the Cavs be the favorite in the East? And do you prefer what you're looking at in front of you versus what you'd be looking at if you were Boston? We'll get to your calls and more coming up here in 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys here until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. I'm just honestly still baffled. I can see directly out the window right now. What, we're an hour past game time right now? They've scheduled first pitch for the Guardians, and they still got the tarps on the field. Not a drop of rain. Single drop. Don't worry. It's supposed to start in half an hour. It'll be about 2 hours past the start of game time. Definitely couldn't have played six innings. Definitely not.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
They've never gotten there. That's right. We're talking to you a little bit of Cavs at the moment. 216-474-0092. Are the Cavs in a better spot than the Celtics sort of moving forward? Right, and I think, obviously, it pretty much through halfway through the season when the Cavs had been in a spot to be leading the Eastern Conference and had really already created quite a sizable gap. It's where we've stood since the very beginning of it, which is the Eastern Conference Finals, you're expecting it to be Cavs-Celtics. They are by far the two best teams in the East. The other teams don't even necessarily match up. A team like New York, still behind by a quite sizable margin. The bench just isn't there. Their starters, I mean, they're struggling with the Pistons right now a little bit. They're getting blessed by no foul calls in the final minutes of games to be able to go up in that series convincingly. Like, New York clearly the third team, and there's a gap there. It's Cavs-Celtics, the gap. This is the conversation that should be being had and the conversation that has been being had, again, since halfway through the season, which is a Cavs-Celtics matchup in the Eastern Conference Finals. How does it look? Both teams obviously have to take care of business to get there, but you expect it to happen. And just right now, obviously already having the series wrapped up is one thing, but even looking at the way that it was starting, obviously I preferred the way that the Cavs have started things out. Playing the Heat instead of the Orlando Magic, playing either the Pacers or the Bucks, honestly, instead of the Pistons or the Knicks, you just have had the easier route, as you should, as the one seed in the conference. But I think right now, especially after having the sweep finished, in having those two series sort of look the way that they are, where New York can pretty much close things out at any minute. Now, I think the Pistons obviously are putting up a fight, but you could also be looking at the close of that thing at any point. I would not be surprised if the Knicks take that series 4-1 and have relatively fresh legs compared to what it possibly could have been. That's one of the series that you looked at and said, oh, that could have gone 6, it could have gone 7. And the Pacers and Bucks are going to be giving each other a little bit of a run, too. Like, they're currently in a battle right now in the third quarter, and it's a close game there as well. And they've been sort of duking it out. Obviously, the loss of Damian Lillard makes that a little tough. But either way, I think the Pacers are a very good team. It's just not the same level of intensity that the Knicks bring. It's not even the same level of intensity that the Pistons bring. They're a different type of team, more of a finesse team than they are a physical team. And we've talked about this before, but the Cavs' route, it just continues to look a little bit easier with every passing day. The route just it continues to get simpler and simpler to the point where I feel like this team, if you're worried about a team taking the wear and tear of the playoffs, guys, it doesn't get any less wear and tear than what they just had. Like, there were 18 minutes, maybe a little bit more of those final two games where you didn't have to worry about Donovan playing. You didn't have to worry about Evan Mobley or Jared Allen. Unfortunately, you didn't have to worry about Darius playing, but that's for a different reason, which we'll talk about probably later on in the night. But you just didn't have to fret, because truthfully, this team had it in the bag. They were able to rest the same way they've been able to rest all year without having to play the superstar-type minutes, the playoff-level minutes that other teams demand out of their starting rotation. Where you look at a team like the Knicks that are pushing their guys playing upwards of 40 minutes a night and not relying on their bench at all, the Cavs were able to go 15 guys deep into their playoff rotation at the start of the fourth quarter. You have full quarters of play out of guys like Jalen Tyson and Javonte Green and Craig Porter Jr. You got entirety of fourth quarters sort of put aside. So I think that does play a difference. I think that you're looking at a team that clearly, with their top guys and giving them rest in the Cavs, you haven't seen a major drop-off in production because of factors like that. The rest has benefited from them, and it's been all rest, no rust. You've seen great games from, and if it's not necessarily Donovan, somebody else steps up. Either Mobley has a good game, or in a game like Game 4, you can look at DeAndre Hunter off the bench where he goes absolutely just nuts, and he's raining from three, and just being a dominant force and having a massive impact on the game. It's something in a level that the Cavs bring that nobody else does. We know that. We know that how well this bench has performed all year long. But just calling on them in playoff games and being able to waltz through a series with Miami, again, we talked about the confidence it brings you, but the physical health benefit it brings you, being able to close that series without having to force Darius to get onto the floor, without having to push him while he's not healthy, those are big. And you're going to need Darius back. You're going to need him to be playing when you go and you match up in the Eastern Conference Finals. You're going to need to rely on him. But I also think that with that, you've seen what the depth brings. You've seen what having a deep bench does for you. Because you've seen other teams lose part of their starters and just not have that same level of production and being able to operate the same way offensively or even defensively. If you look at Orlando throughout the year, since they lost Jalen Suggs, the defense just has not been that elite tier. It's still good, but it's not a top of the NBA level elite. The Cavs just sort of plugged and played. Obviously, again, Darius is a very important part, but it did not stop them from just pouring it on Miami. They were still able to do so. So when you get Darius back, you just have that one extra piece, that one extra level of confidence that Boston's not going to have in already having your stars take over games. Like we talked about last night, Ty Jerome outscoring Tyler Hero in two out of the four games off the bench is pretty significant. That does something for the confidence. And Ty is ultra confident, but if you needed to see the boost from it, if you wanted him to be walking around like, you know what, doesn't stink, well, you got it out of Ty Jerome now. That's not a knock. That is a very much a positive. But I think the important part now is sort of gauging where these two teams are at if they match up in an Eastern Conference Finals. Where do those two teams get? And again, why I'm giving the edge to the Cavs is really not only the dominance of play, but all things considered, you're about at the same health. Darius down, Drew Holiday gone. Right now for Boston in facing injury. I expect both of those guys to probably make their way back by the time the Eastern Conference Finals gets there. So health is not going to be a major concern, barring something obviously unforeseen happening. But the rest plays such a massive factor. If Boston's not able to take care of what's most likely going to be New York in the semifinals in quick fashion, it's a time where you look at Boston and think, that team's got to be a little tired. They've just had to work harder through two rounds of the playoffs, and the Cavs are coming with a distinct advantage. Boston has championship DNA, but at some point, you got to leave it up to health and the rest that you've had. The Cavs have had the most well-rested starting lineup pretty much in all of basketball this year. And especially out of the playoff teams, even towards the back half of things in the regular season, Boston was playing their guys massive minutes to the point where, yeah, it's minutes they're expected to play, and it's not anything overly demanding. It's not Tibbs, but it's definitely 35-plus minutes The Cavs just didn't have to do it. And you see the freshness. You see the team from top to bottom being able to stay fresh, not just from a series standpoint, but a game-to-game standpoint as well. So as I look at this, I think that I have a pretty good amount of confidence in the Cavs taking down the Celtics when you get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that that's something that I look at is more than a 50-50. Right? Almost like a 65-35 in favor of the Cavs, given what's in front of these two teams. Now, Bill Ryder of CBS Sports was on with the afternoon show today, and Nick and JP sort of alluded to what's a Cavs-Celtics series looked like in your eyes following what we've seen so far in round one, and here's what Bill had to say.
I would probably still take Boston if I had to choose, although I find it a really uncomfortable choice. I felt pretty good about that a week ago. Like, a week ago, I was like, okay, Boston's going to probably play the Cavs in the conference finals. It's going to probably be a six-gamer. Cleveland will comport themselves impressively, and Boston will win. I don't know now. Now it feels like a coin flip. And part of that is because Cleveland is even better than I thought they were, or as good as I knew they were in the playoffs. And part of that is I just know that Boston's going to try to shoot a billion three-point shots, and there are going to be these statistical nights off. And so if Cleveland can take advantage of the night or two when the Celtics don't shoot well, from, you know, they shoot 48 threes, but they don't make very many of them. Yes, it did. For me, it closed the gap of probability that Cleveland wins what I think is almost absolutely an inevitable showdown in the conference finals.
So, and look, Bill was clearly fully on side of the Celtics to start things off. But even the first round there, clearly making a shift to the Cavs having more of a chance. Like, if you're telling me it's a first-round series against Miami and it doesn't play any effect, I think you listen to the experts talk about it, and that just can't be the case. It has to be impact being derived from what you've seen in the first round. And what you saw in the first round was pure and utter dominance out of Cleveland. And that's what you were looking for. All of your questions have been answered in the playoff Cavaliers. I'm still higher than where Bill is, and maybe it's a little bit of bias showing through, maybe it's not. I can sit there and watch Boston and watch the way that their offense functions, and I know that the Cavs have, I don't want to say an ultimate answer for it, but ways that they've proven they're able to slow it down. And for the Cavs capitalizing on mistakes, like Bill says, like, yeah, you're going to have to be able to do that. And when Boston's not shooting the ball well, those are games you have to win. The way that the Cavs have shot the ball, the way that the Cavs have even circumnavigated not being able to shoot the ball and still find their advantage in so many different ways, and truly under Kenny, utilize the vast difference that they have in their star power compared to where other teams stand. A lot of teams fit into, well, we do this really well, and we're practically going to bang our head into a wall, and if that doesn't work, well, we went out doing it our way. The Cavs have shown the adaptability. They've shown the different ways they can get things done, both in the interior, like, you know, what was it? Is it game 3 or 4, where they're outscoring Miami by 30 points within the first half in the paint. Like 60 to 30 difference, I think, by the end of the game. They've been able to do that. And then also on other nights, like last night, be able to sort of shoot them out of the gym from beyond the arc. The way that they handle the game changes on a day-to-day basis, and they're able to impose it where if you want to take away one thing, okay, we have another way to beat you in a way that I don't think Boston has. I just think that you've been looking to see that from Kenny and looking to see the, I can't have you bang your head into a wall now that the pressure comes up and the playoffs come. And Kenny's already shown it in one series he's not going to do it. I've been blown away by what Kenny Atkinson has shown in the playoffs and holding true to what he's done all regular season. And I hope that continues because it's truly where I look at the Cavs and see a high advantage. 216-474-0092 if you want to jump in. Are the Cavs in a better spot than the Celtics? Coming up here in 24 minutes, we're going to talk to Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. But coming back here in about 5 minutes, we're going to get to the most pressing clips said by the station's guests today, and we'll do it with the station buzz. It's Jake Volnick with the guys right here on Overtime on the Fan. Coming up in about 17 minutes, we're going to talk to our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, get his thoughts on the draft and what we're looking at moving forward with this team. and a lot to get to later on as well. It's Jake Volnick with the guys here on The Fan as we get ready to try to figure out who the Cavs are going to take on here in the next round of the playoffs. We're going to talk a little bit of Browns with Daryl and a little bit more beyond that as well. But before we get there, I want to get to the most pressing clips said from the station's guests today, and we're going to do it with the station buzz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
We're going to kick things off with Bill Reiter, CBS Sports, covers the NBA. You heard him earlier on in the show talk about a Cavs-Celtics matchup. And now you can hear him talking about the Cavs' dominance and that they showed against the Heat in the first round.
Two things have happened to me in these opening round series, and they're really similar. I wanted to see whether the Thunder and the Cavs were as legitimate in the playoffs as they were in the regular season. Thought both would be. Those things tend to translate, but that's not always the case, especially if you haven't had recent real playoff success. Takeaway for me in Cleveland, Miami is, oh my God, this Cavs team is everything we thought they were. We knew they were pretty good defensively. You guys have been for a while, but it's the best offense in the NBA, and it's all real. And that pounding, that beatdown, that humiliation, that was about the fact that Cleveland is, and they may not, but Cleveland is good enough to win an NBA championship this year. They are one of three elite teams that exist in the NBA, and they are going to be really, really tough to beat in every single playoff game they play going forward.
And that's the point I was echoing sort of in the first talk that we were having at 7 o'clock. This team should absolutely... They've proven it to you all year long, but if you needed that one extra push, that one thing to get you beyond the hesitation of calling the Cavs title contenders, it should have been the first round series. Sure, it's a 10 seed that pushed their way up into playing a first round matchup, but that doesn't matter. I mean, taking care of a team in the dominant fashion they took care of the Heat, but still respectable players and an elite NBA head coach in Eric Spoelstra, you have to just recognize and be able to be okay with the way that they won that and saying, yeah, that's a good showing, and it's not just the expectation. That was beyond expectation, and the Cavs began to dominate. I like putting them up there in the top three. I like saying that this team has a title chance, and I really like the way they performed. I do think that the Cavs are just a matchup nightmare with every team that they go up against. Their ability to play both offensively and defensively and the different looks they can show you in the different lineups, again, is sort of one of a kind. Something that I think this year you see even give Boston trouble in a playoff series. All right, let's talk a little bit more Cavs. Danny Cunningham on with Ken and Anthony this morning. Inside Shot Substack, Locked On Cavs. You can hear him on the station. But he was impressed with what Kenny Atkinson showed throughout the Heat series as well.
I was really impressed with Kenny Atkinson in this series. The defensive strategy that they employed in games 3 and 4, especially after you kind of knew what Miami is going to try and do. Like, you almost felt as if they wanted Tyler Hero to be the guy to have a really good game and maybe win a game at home. Listen, the tools in the tool belt for Kenny Atkinson are much different than Eric Spoelstra's, but I thought Kenny had a much better coaching series than Spo did as well. The fact that they blew out the Miami Heat in the fashion that they did, I think the versatility that they showed offensively and the ways that they can attack teams is something that you should be really excited about.
Again, Kenny did an amazing job in that first series, but that's not something I think we can just go and overlook and be like, yeah, well, Kenny's a good coach. No, Kenny out-coached Eric Spoelstra. with more weapons at his disposal, as Danny sort of alluded to there. But that's not just, hey, he's got more to work with. It's much easier to put it together. This is about the same exact team that J.B. Bickerstaff was working with last year, and you thought there was a lack of things at the disposal. Kenny has made those things available and has begun to use them in a way that makes sense. If you can out-coach Eric Spoelstra on a series and do it in that dominant of a fashion, there should be no reason that against another pair of good head coaches that you could be in front of in Rick Carlisle and Joe Mazzulla, there's no reason you can't out-coach them too. There weren't a ton of mistakes that you can point to. I think obviously as series get closer, yes, there's going to be mistakes from Kenny Atkinson. He's not going to coach perfect, but I do trust him to be able to out-coach anybody else in the NBA in the way that he operates right now. In the performance that he's put on and truly shown, I know how to handle this team, and I've tried out just about every lineup under the sun with these guys. I know what I can do to counter different things. I think Kenny's going to have a massive edge over teams that were fighting and battling and grinding out, just trying to win games all year long. Kenny really got to have the luxury of playing around with things and almost toying with his food when it came to the standings. And that's just another advantage the Cavs had from a dominant regular season, and I expect it to continue. All right, let's talk a little Browns. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, on with Baskin and Phelps today, and he talked about a potential quarterback competition for the Browns and hoping it's a fair one.
I just hope at the end of the day it's a fair competition. When it comes down to Shadur versus Dylan Gabriel, that if it's close, you know, there are close questions all the time about who starts and who sits. If it's close, does it go Shadur Sanders or does it go Dylan Gabriel? You look at Gabriel's contract and his draft status, maybe he gets an edge that way. But you look at this idea that, hey, we may have gotten the steal of the century. Let's get this kid out there and see what Shadur can do. Maybe if it's close, it goes his way. That's where it's going to be a problem, because if it's close, you're going to have guys in the locker room that feel one thing, other guys that feel another. And if whoever the starter is doesn't get it done, you're going to have a group that's rolling their eyes and rumbling and saying the other guy should be the one who plays.
I think it's actually a much different look for me when I talk about the quarterbacks, and it's not just because I wanted to see Shadur at two, but when it comes to the two rookies individually, like we talked about yesterday, I don't think either one of them is going to be the guy to get the boot before this season starts. But truthfully, if you're going to move on from one, if you look at a volatile prospect, it's in the DNA of Shadur Sanders. Like, he's a guy that had gone from ranging as a top five pick to ranging all the way down to where he was actually drafted in the fifth round. It was everywhere. I don't know that I need a quote-unquote fair quarterback competition as long as either guy would get a shot at some point in their career. Dylan Gabriel fits everything that the Browns want to do. Right? And if you're not truly looking to compete and be at the top of your game this year, which I think all the moves that the Browns have made have sort of indicated they're not looking to do that. But if you're not, I think just throwing the thing over to Shadur, probably the right way to go, and give it some time. Like, play a couple of games. There's no doubt in my mind that with Dylan Gabriel, at least in a backup role, he's capable of being here. With Shadur and the media that comes with it, I don't think it's as simple just to put him out there and have him continue to ride the bench and then have to answer to the questions of the draft of what on earth do you do, because you just have that guy sitting there and the talent that he was. There's a lot of questions to answer. Go see what you have with Shadur. And then Dylan Gabriel's going to be there. He sort of serves as a backup type quarterback, and in a pinch you could use him. And if you really think you have something, if he's that much better than Shadur, you'll see it. But I think ultimately first, if it's close like Mike's painting out, you go and let Shadur win the battle and see, do we have an absolute steal of a pick, or was this a guy that was in the fifth round for a reason? Brian Hoyer on with Ken and Anthony this morning, former quarterback for your Cleveland Browns, talked about the difficulty of splitting reps with the first team between four different QBs this offseason.
Even splitting two reps that becomes difficult once you get to training camp. To try to get four guys to out there to be out there and all be competing for a starting job, like, you're going to have to start knocking guys back pretty early on, because the reality is, for the best thing for the team needs to know who the starting quarterback is, I would say, no later than the second preseason game. It's just the reality. They need to know who's going to be throwing them the ball, who's going to be – every guy's cadence is a little bit different. The line needs to know those things. So you're going to have, I would say, the most fierce part of the competition in OTAs and in the first weeks of training camp. And at that point, you got to make some type of decision for the team and also for the quarterback, because the quarterback doesn't want to go in every day and say, man, I feel like I should be the starter, but I'm still going through this. When is this going to – and that starts to weigh on you.
Yeah, this was something we talked about a little bit last night. The four reps thing is a very good point by Brian Hoyer, and one that we highlighted yesterday, because I don't know how you get anybody comfortable in there. And if you wanted to win games, you're going to have your quarterback comfortable with your wide receivers. And Joe's comfortable in the offense, not really comfortable with the group of guys that's here catching passes. Wasn't throwing a ton to Cedric Tillman in 2023, and he wasn't throwing to Jerry Jeudy at all. And Elijah Moore is obviously the one guy, if he's here, that you can look at and sort of point to as, the familiarity you have. It's not like Elijah Moore was having great games with Joe Flacco at quarterback. He had like a good half, and that was about it. There's still going to be a familiarity that every quarterback's going to have to establish. And I do think that's a very difficult process that probably lands you in a little bit of hot water. At the start of the season, at least. Somebody will settle in, but I don't know who it's going to be. All right, one more here. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, was on with Baskin and Phelps, gave her best guess at who a week one starter would be.
If the season started tomorrow, I would think that Kenny Pickett would start. And I feel that way because he was the first person the Browns went after when the NFL opened for business in March. Joe Flacco, even though they're so excited to have him and the fans are excited to have him, was not an afterthought. That's too strong. But they didn't clamor to sign him right away. Even Joe did not think that this was going to happen. So it's not like they had him in their sights from the jump. They had Kenny in their sights from the jump. They had Dylan definitely on their radar right from the start and throughout the pre-draft process. So if I had to make a guess right now, I'm saying Kenny for right now.
Again, I'm not leaning to odd man out right now like we talked about yesterday. But man, if it's not Joe, I can just imagine the reaction from the fan base when Kenny Pickett inevitably struggles in week one. I'm going to be upset because I've watched enough Kenny Pickett to know that it's not going to work great. But I don't know that Browns fans aren't going to be even beyond where I'm at in trying to actually reason with themselves why the guy who couldn't last in Pittsburgh and was a backup in Philly is now all of a sudden leading their team over the guy who took them to the playoffs. I won't want to see the reaction, but it just got a weird feeling that I'm going to be able to see that. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. Coming back here in 5 minutes, our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Reiter, joins us to help break down the draft and everything leading up to a Browns offseason. That's coming in 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with the guys right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.